Welcome to worship at Advent. Glad you could be here. I'm glad to be here. As we share our liturgy and the scripture readings and the music, I encourage you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart, that this might not be just simply another service, but one where your heart gets expanded for God, where you begin to receive personal input for your life from Him. It's normal Christian behavior. Let's experience it this morning. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
Jesus reveals himself to Saul in a vision, and Paul's life is never the same. A reading from the Acts of the Apostle. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 33. It's found on page 4 in your bulletin. We will read in unison. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. It is good for the just to sing praises. Praise the Lord with the harp. Play to him upon the psaltery and lyre. Sing for him a new song. Sound a fanfare with all your skill upon the trumpet. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are sure. He loves righteousness and justice. The loving kindness of the Lord fills the whole earth. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, by the breath of his mouth all the heavenly hosts. He gathers up the waters of the ocean as in a water skin, and stores up the depths of the sea. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all who dwell in the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to pass. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the will of all the nations to naught. He thwarts the designs of the peoples. But the Lord's will stand fast forever, and the designs of his heart from age to age. Fearsome and fantastic vision of the heavens breaks on John's sight. All creation, the elders as well as angels and unimaginable beasts, all bow to worship God revealed in Jesus Christ. A reading from the Revelation to John. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000s times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel of our Lord according to John.
Glory to you, Christ.
I'm reading from John 21. This is after Jesus' resurrection and after he'd appeared to several of his disciples and to some of the ladies. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Now, manifested must mean that he wasn't always evident, but that he appeared at certain times after his resurrection. Then verse 2, Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We will also come with you. They went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, Children, you do not have any fish, do you? And they answered him, No. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll find a catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, Now note, that disciple whom Jesus loved, the author is saying, I was there when this happened. It's sort of like yesterday at a birthday party, one of my granddaughters introduced herself, I'm Grandpa's favorite. John is kind of saying that here. I'm the one that Jesus really loved. Continuing, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in that little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out of the boat, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, Who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Thank you. to speak to you this morning out of the gospel that I just read, John 21. And the theme I want to address with you is how Jesus deals with failure. First of all, looking at Peter's life, but then also at our own life, how the Lord deals with failure in our life. Many of you will know that during the month of April, I went with my brother to Florida and just got back a few days ago, had a wonderful time. The background is that my brother Finn and his wife Linda, for years, went in April to Florida, and after she had gone to be with the Lord at the end of December, Finn had debated whether to keep the reservation that he had, and then eventually asked me if I would want to go with him. And I thought that might be a good time to support him, to have some enjoyment together, and it was everything that we could have hoped for. Wonderful time. But even on vacation, stuff happens. And whether it might be failures or mistakes, it happens. The place where we stayed, the Villages, is a golf cart community. You can go virtually anywhere in the golf cart that comes with the condo that you rent. And so we thought that would be really fun early on, figure out how that worked. And we wanted to go find some food and possibly some sort of adult beverage. And we got terribly lost. I mean, completely lost. So we were sitting by the side of the golf cart trail, and a couple came up and asked if they could help. They asked where we were from, where we were going, and they said, "You really are lost." And they tried to describe where we needed to go, but instead they said, "You follow us, and then when we get to the place where you can maybe find your own way, we'll point." And they got us out of just a real maze and brought us to a place where we could get back to our unit. It was wonderful. Mistakes happen. Failure happens. It's a part of life. One of the things that's so important is that God's purpose for you and for me is bigger than our mistakes. We all fail, but His purposes for us are bigger than to get to that place of discouragement and sometimes relatively hopelessness. When we started on the trip to Florida, we drove down and drove back so we'd have a car. We used GPS. And a couple of times we hit a bad turn. But the good thing about GPS, my GPS, by the way, is Natalie. I named her after Monk's assistant, an old TV show. A few of you will remember. And Natalie, whenever we made it wrong, she would recalculate to get us to where we wanted to go, but by a different direction. That's how God sometimes is with our lives. We believe that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We make an error, we fail. Then, like GPS, like Natalie, He recalculates and takes us in a different direction that will end up where we wanted to be anyway. It's a wonderful thing. While failure is a part of everyone's life, Peter's failure when he denied Christ in John 18 three times is so dramatic that we still think about it and talk about it over 2,000 years later. But we remember the end of the story is that in spite of Peter's failure, the Lord used him in just amazing ways to build the church on the day of Pentecost. So we remember that failure is an event. It's not a destiny. Some of you will have gone into a bad marriage. Some of you will have been deeply hurt by other people. Some of you will have made career decisions that went so badly wrong, you thought you would never recover. Failure is an event. It's not your destiny. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It means that He has another plan for your life. When we fail, especially when we failed those that we care about the most, it can lead to discouragement, to embarrassment, to anger, even to despair. But that is never the end of the story. Peter never forgot what happened to him on that day that he denied Christ. Tradition tells us that he would start weeping. Think about this. Every time he heard a rooster crow, he'd start weeping. because it would remind him of that moment by the charcoal fire when he denied that he knew the Lord. Tradition also says that he would wake up every night and pray during the hour that he had denied the Lord. He was redeemed, but he never forgot that failure. It didn't exempt him from serving the Lord, but it was a prod for him to remember where he had been at one point in his life. So this morning I want to look real simply at three stages in how the Lord redeemed Peter and restored him, and how he does that in our life as well. And the first one is that he sent his word. He sent word to Peter. And what I mean by that, when the women arrived at the tomb on resurrection morning, and an angel announced good news to them and said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." Peter wasn't with the disciples anymore because of his failure. He was by himself dealing with that great guilt that he had in his life. But Peter, or rather the Lord, sent word to Peter, "Go tell him that what I had promised has happened. I have risen from the dead." And in some ways, you may have had this experience. This happens in our life. We are going through a difficult time. I will think back a bit over 3 years ago when my wife died, that there were people around who supported and who said, "You know what, this is not the end of your life. For your wife, this is really a good thing." Didn't take the grief away, but it gave me a nice perspective. People will do that in our lives. That is like the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, sending a word, a reminder. "Haven't forgotten about you. You're not out of my plans." So first he sent word to Peter. Secondly, Jesus, the resurrected Lord, met with Peter personally. Jesus made a special appearance sometime on Resurrection Sunday. Two scriptures talk about that. To me, it's a profound thing. In Luke 24, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Not to the disciples first, but to Simon. Jesus, who had been betrayed by Peter, went to Peter and appeared to him to show himself, "What I had promised, that I would rise from the dead, has happened." And that was a part of Peter's restoration. It also says in 1 Corinthians 15, "He was raised on the third day according to scriptures, and he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. When they were all together, he appeared, but first to Peter, who was the default leader of the disciples. So first Jesus went to him. To me, that's an incredible thing. We heard in the lesson from Acts this morning how Jesus appeared to Paul. Paul had completely misunderstood that Jesus was the Messiah. He had not gotten it. And so he was going to get letters, which were letters of authority, to arrest Christians who were tearing apart, he thought, the Jewish synagogues. Then Jesus himself appeared. He didn't put Paul off to the side and said, "Because what you have done, you're irrelevant." But he called him to be a part of the work of the first generation church. And in the same way, you and I have failed. And the Lord doesn't say, "You know what, buddy, young lady, you've gone too far, you've become irrelevant." He never does that. He brings redemption. He sends his word. He meets with us. And one of the ways, you may minimize this a bit, but one of the ways that he meets with us is through corporate worship. When we come together like this, we hear from God. Right now, you may be not listening to what I'm saying at all, but you have a different thought that the Lord has put into your brain. That's not distraction. That's what happens when we worship. We come together, Jesus promised to be in our midst, and the Holy Spirit will speak to us what we need. He will take my mumbling words and turn them around in a way that speaks to your heart, that brings life and encouragement. Through the scripture readings, through the liturgy, it's a wonderful thing. It's why in Hebrews we're told, "Don't forsake the assembling together, as is the habit of some, even as the day draws near." Always come together. It's one of the ways that that Jesus meets with us by his Holy Spirit. So with Peter, first he sent his word, then he met with him, and then thirdly, he restored him in a powerful way. After breakfast was over, Jesus and Peter took a walk away from the charcoal fire. It is where Jesus asked him three times, "Pete, do you love me?" And that's obviously because Peter had denied the Lord three times. Peter had publicly denied Christ. Now in front of the other disciples, he publicly says, "Jesus, as you know that I love you." It's a powerful restoration. There are twice in the book of John that the charcoal fire is mentioned. It's really the only two places in the New Testament where the Greek term for charcoal fire is used. And it's the first fire where Peter denied he was with Christ, and the second one here by the Sea of Galilee. At one charcoal fire, Peter said, "I don't know him." And by the second charcoal fire, he said, "Lord, you know that I love you." That was his powerful restoration. And that is how the Lord deals with us as well. We regularly speak words of forgiveness. We'll do that again in a little bit. We'll confess and we'll hear the words of forgiveness. We're never put to the side. There's always a new opportunity to begin to get back to walk in that way that we have always wanted to walk. And look at Peter. Just a few days later, on the day of Pentecost, this man who had denied Christ three times proclaimed a powerful message to the very people who had called for Jesus' death. And about 3,000 people were saved and became the body of the first Christian church. Just an amazing thing. The old Peter was gone forever. The new Peter, who had failed completely, had arisen out of that time because Jesus had sent word to him, had met with him, and then had restored him, just as the Lord does in our lives as well. Early church tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down in Rome because he didn't believe that he was worthy to be crucified the way that Jesus was. So, powerful impact on his life. What does Jesus do with failure? He brings redemption. God is able to forget and forgive the past. We struggle with that sometimes, in the same way that Peter never forgot, but he also understood that in the midst of that betrayal, afterwards he was forgiven. And that's the center of our Christian life. You and I, in spite of those flaws in our lives, when we get lost, when we get off track, like in that golf cart in Florida, we get to begin again. We have people, we have the Holy Spirit, the church that comes together and say, "You're going in the wrong direction. You need to turn around and go this way, and you will find the destiny that God has prepared for you." That's the wonder of our faith, the wonder of what it means to be a child of God. Just like Peter, we get a chance to begin again. Doesn't matter the level of your flaw, the level of your failure, the mistake you have made, there's redemption in Jesus. It's a wonderful reminder. One of the things that I was thinking about earlier this morning, sometimes God does miracles in our lives and it changes everything. But the biggest miracle is that you and I are not the person we are not the person today that we were before we met Jesus. He has changed our heart so that we can be witnesses to others of what it means to be a child of God. So with that, let's stand and confess together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people for today will be Form 3, starting on page 6 in your bulletin. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church, that we all may be one. Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you, that your name may be glorified by all people. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own Bishops Hollingsworth and Love, and Pastor Paul, that there may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world, that there may be justice and peace on the earth. Grant us grace to do your will in all that we undertake, that our works may find favor in your sight. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble, and praying for those on our prayer list throughout the upcoming week, that they may be delivered from their distress. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. Let us join together in the following prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take, for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open to us what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another. Peace to the Lord. Good morning, young lady. Peace of the
Lord. Oh, peace of the Lord.
Cynthia, peace. Well, thank you.
Good morning.
And me too. How are you?
Nice to hear you this morning.
Thank you. Good to have you. Peace of the Lord.
He's recovering from the surgery.
Thank
you. Too many hands. Peace of the Lord. Peace be with you. Peace. Peace be with you. Art, peace of the Lord.
Peace be with you.
Good morning. Peace. Yes, ma'am. It was perfect.
I love the tan.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Peace. Good morning.
Peace, John.
Is it safe? Job.
So Marilyn has an announcement.
Yes. Thank you. Good morning. The Southwest Chorus is having their concert this afternoon at 3. It's at the United Methodist Church, 170 Seminary Street in Berea, at 3 o'clock. And it's $15 at the door. Thank you.
Pete.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple things. For the offertory, the congregation is invited to join the choir as we sing All Creatures of Our God and King, which you'll find on page 400 in your hymnal. Secondly, Mother's Day is next weekend. And for Mother's Day, we are going to have a celebration of a Mexican fiesta. We are going to feature chicken fajitas for the ladies. And all of you are invited. Bring your families if you so choose to, and bring your friends, and we'll all have a good time after the 10 o'clock service next Sunday. Thank you. On behalf of Teddy Augustine, ladies, please let Teddy know if you're going to join the crew tomorrow night at BJ's. She's taking list and checking it twice, right? Right. So today's Babylon discussion is taking the cross into the world, and part of what we'll be discussing in the Babylon discussion after 10 o'clock service is that very subject, and we'll be talking about some practical, feasible things that you and I can do without having to go out
into the streets of Westlake and knock on doors and go through that particular effort. But of some other things that we can do in our lives that can still take the cross into the world. And I was struck in this morning's first reading from Acts how appropriate this particular passage from Acts is in light of the discussion in Babylon today. Let me reread this. It's partway through the discussion in Acts 9. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel." And I think, by the way, he's probably telling us that we are his chosen people to carry the word into all the world. The next verse. So the Lord has said to Paul, "You're my chosen instrument. Go for it, guy." And the next verse says, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." And that's part of what we're going to be discussing at the Babylon discussion, is how we deal with persecution as we carry the cross into the world. So please join us for that. Finally, actually, there will also be someone to pray with you in back during communion if you have prayers of need, prayers of hope, prayers of thanks. There will be someone there to pray with you. Now, Paul and Dar, please join me here. We have a shock to come. So your Advent family has a gift for the two of you. And it seems especially appropriate to give this gift today because Paul has just returned from a month in Florida and he's probably cold.
Yes.
Dealing with fog, dealing with dampness, dealing with all the lovely weather that we have in Northeast Ohio.
That would be true.
Yes. And you, my love, you are struggling also, I know, with the same weather, because we all are. So, on behalf of your Advent family, a gift for Dar.
Thank you.
A gift for Paul.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness, this is beautiful.
Oh, that's fun.
Who made this?
None of your business. Don't ask questions that you shouldn't ask.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm kind of
Advent family.
I'm kind of chilly right now.
Yeah, I was going to say,
let's put it on. Look at that.
Oh, that's feeling much better.
I feel like Grandma Moses.
at least you're not in your rocking chair, which means you are kind of off your rocker. Yes, thank you very much.
Oop, there's a card here, I think. I think there's a card. Yes, there's a card.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank
Appreciate
you,
it.
Everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
This kind of makes me look like a rabbi, doesn't it? Today is also the day, first Sunday of the month, when we honor birthdays and anniversaries during the month of May. Any birthdays, if you would stand up and come forward and introduce yourself and when your birthday is.
My birthday.
Okay, we'll get to you. We'll start with Art, who is already seated but doesn't want to stand up.
Yeah.
When is your birthday?
May 24th. And my name is John Irvis, and I was born May the 11th, 1936, so I've got to admit that a few years ago, I told you I was born on Mother's Day. It's the day after Mother's Day. I checked it out this morning on the internet.
Hi, I'm Beverly. My birthday is May 2nd. I beat him by just a couple of days.
I'm Joan Joy, and my birthday is May 26th.
Now, Denise, and my birthday was May 1st.
Wow. Just got in. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on these folks as they recognize another year in their lives. We pray that you would protect them, guard them, and prosper them as they seek to live the life that you have given them and move forward in their life as a witness. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Nice month for birthdays. Any anniversaries this month? All right, let's continue then. We'll present our offerings to the Lord. We continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and hath taken away the sin of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death and by his rising to life again, hath won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was betrayed, our Lord took into his hands the bread and held it up before them and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after they had supped and given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which was shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now please join with me as we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Please join with me in prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He